Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible. And right now we're at 1 Timothy chapter 2. And then after this chapter I've written several other truths from the Bible. Right now let's all go up to the throne of the Lord to ask Him to bless this service. Heavenly Father, our Lord and our God, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Lord, You've made us kings and priests. And we ask, Lord, that You walk in us as we are moving in Your Spirit as though we are kings here on this earth. Because we're the King, kings of the King, of the King of all the kings. Now, Lord God, we ask that You open up the windows of heaven and pour out Your Spirit upon this message, and that You'll open up, You'll let it sink into every ear, into every heart, Lord, because it's the maturity that You want for us to have, so that we can grow up into the fullness of You. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's go from the King James Version. We're paralleling the King James Version with teachings that I've learned down through the years and also things that I've picked up in the Spirit from the Lord. So let's go.
I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty.
Okay, now, go ahead and read what I said.
I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. As you make your requests, plead for God's mercy upon them and give thanks. Pray this way for kings and all others who are in authority, so that we can live in peace and quietness, in godliness and dignity.
Okay, now the Lord came into this world as the kingdom of heaven, and He brought a kingdom with Him. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And when we pray, we're supposed to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven. We are not just to think of ourselves as Christians, but we're to think of ourselves also as kings. And we're to walk uprightly as He did in this world, because He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And He gave us here to rule the world. Thy kingdom come. Not some other kingdom, but we're to pray for the ones that are for everybody in the world, all people, so that they also can become rulers for God. Those that are rulers in secular government are not sons of the King, are they?
No.
So if the King has a son, when he grows up, will he be what?
A king.
A king also. Amen?
Amen.
So when we grow up to the fullness of the stature of the Lord, we also are kings. Amen?
Amen.
So we must walk and rule in this world as kings, right?
Yes.
All right, then what?
King James, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will
so
have...
So we have to pray for all the kings, amen?
Amen.
And those of us have been put in authority here in this world to bring forth the kingdom of God. So when we ask the Lord to come into our hearts, the King came into our hearts. That's the kingdom, amen?
Amen.
The King is the head of the kingdom, isn't it?
Yes.
So the kingdom of heaven, in other words, the King of heaven doesn't come with observation because He's inside. Amen?
Amen.
Do you understand?
Yes.
All right, praise the Lord. Then what?
For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth.
So that's really something, you know, where we can call God, the Almighty God, our Father. We can call Him Abba, right?
Amen.
So if we're calling, if He really is our Father, then we're kings, aren't we?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
And priests. And He wants us to walk as kings. Amen?
Amen.
To glorify Him. That there are many kings on this earth. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Go ahead.
For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time.
Okay, into mine now.
This is good and pleases God, our Savior, for he wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth.
Okay, so the mind of Christ is that he wants everyone to be saved. If you don't have that mind, you're still a devil. Your mind is still a devil's mind. We're all born into this world as devils. We were dead, amen?
Amen.
Everyone that's born into this world, their spirit is dead. It's spiritually dead. The body dies later, but the spirit is dead because of we have the Adamic sin on our soul. Amen?
Amen.
And so Christ came into this world so that he could, when we want him to be, we want to live, we want to have eternal life, so that he can enter into us and resurrect our dead spirit to life again. Without God, see, Jesus is our life, the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
And we're dead in, our spirits are truly dead.
For there is only one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and people. He is the man Christ Jesus.
Yeah, so God is, when our spirits are dead, they're dead because we're not united with God. And a lot of you older people that don't care about human souls, you don't have the mind of Christ, you never have because you don't win souls, you don't care whether other people know this. You may have heard this many times, but there are new people that come in the church, and the Lord has me reading the Bible because you don't read the Bible with them, and so I'm explaining it to them. If it bores you, well, then that's too bad. All right? I don't really understand how the Word of the Lord bores people anyway, even older Christians, because if they're Christians, because you can tell that they've never renewed their mind. Their minds are not like Christ because they're not soul-winning minded. The Lord came into the world to win souls. That's the only reason he came here, is to bring back your dead spirits, everyone's dead spirit, to life. And people that don't like the Word of God or get bored at it are still dead in their sins and trespasses. They're still, their spirit is dead. They don't have a resurrected spirit. They've never renewed their mind. They don't have the mind of Christ. And that's, there is, well, just get on with it. I'll explain this later.
He gave his life to purchase freedom for everybody.
Yeah, freedom from death, hell, the lake of fire, the grave, all right? Some people don't even know what freedom means. It's to be free from death, from your spiritual deadness. And you can tell when people are alive because they have the mind of Christ. Then what?
This is the message that God gave to the world at the proper time.
Right, because before that, again, I'm saying that people shouldn't compare themselves. Well, you know, these different people in the Old Testament sinned, and so and God never sent them to hell. How do you know he didn't? Samson sinned. Yes, but the point is that the Spirit of God was not living in them. They didn't have the power to totally resist the devil as we do today. And so the Bible tells us that there's no excuse for those of us that have the new covenant, where God in Jesus by the Holy Spirit's living in us. There's no excuse for sinning, and God is no respecter of persons. He's not going to have any favorite people to where he'll let them get by with sinning. You will not get by with it at the judgment bar of God. Okay, then go ahead. You must have a renewal of the mind. Okay, go ahead.
In King James, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ.
All right, he's been ordained what?
A preacher.
A preacher, yes. And what was the? And why is he ordained to be a preacher and an apostle? Why? Because the Lord came into this world to save sinners, and God called him to be a soul winner, just like he did everybody else. He says, well, you know, he called him to be an apostle and an evangelist or a preacher. It doesn't matter what title you've got. He's called him to be a soul winner. Isn't that what it is?
Yes.
That's what it is, okay? A soul winner?
Yes,
not a title. A soul winner. Somebody that wins souls. Did you ever hear about them?
Yes.
How many souls have you won? No answer. That shows you don't have, your mind isn't changed, renewed. See, when we first come into this world, we have the mind of the devil. And so the Lord comes to resurrect our dead spirits, And then he wants us to be regenerated, by regenerating us, when we accept him. When we accept him, we tell him that we're going to do, put on the mind of Christ. We're going to do his works. Amen?
Amen.
And what did he come into the world to do? To save sinners, wasn't it?
Yes.
So if you say you're going to do the works of Christ, then it's only to win sinners to the Lord. What else is it? Amen?
Amen.
Because the Lord says that any tree that doesn't bring forth fruit, that doesn't win souls, will be hewn down and cast into the fire, doesn't it?
Yes.
Okay, well, you have to get busy. Okay, then what?
Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle.
Why?
To win sinners.
To win souls. Win sinners to the Lord so that they'll get saved. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. All of us are supposed to be preachers, evangelists, aren't we?
Yes.
The Lord, you're not supposed to be a teacher, women. Okay, keep going.
I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity.
What does he teach them?
About Jesus so they can get saved.
No, to win souls. About souls, so he teaches them to win souls. I just keep telling you that the only purpose that we're here on earth is to win souls. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Well, how do we win souls? 30 years and you don't know the answers. By studying the Word and doing what it says, people are not going to believe you if you're not a soul winner. If I go out into the orchard and there's no fruit on the trees, then what good is it if I hire a bunch of workers to go out and pick the fruit? And that's what the Lord did, is send us into the world to get people saved. Now, you know when Peter said, let me walk on water too, to Jesus, he says, come on. And so he walked on the water, and then he looked down and he doubted. And Jesus was uptight at him for doubting. He says, why did you doubt? Amen?
Amen.
Why do you doubt? Why do you not win souls? Because you're doubting. And, you know, we have to be transformed. I was just mentioning this morning to some people that when you, I've been in the on a farm quite a bit when I was younger, and we'd candle eggs, and most people don't even know what candling eggs is. Do you? I taught you. Do you?
Only what you taught me.
What did I teach you?
You hold it up to a light so you can
see
it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You can put a light bulb there. All eggs that go into a supermarket, especially if there's a rooster on the ground, they have this because they fertilize the eggs. And you have to put it up to a light to see if there's any blood in the egg. Because if it's fertilized, it'll make a chicken inside of there. So when you become born again of the Spirit, the egg inside of a woman is fertilized. But you can, what is this machine that they look at to see what sex the baby is?
Ultrasound.
Ultrasound. When looking at an egg, you can't tell what that is. You can see the fertilizer in there, but you can't tell what is the feet, or, you know, the head, or the toes, or what. But soon enough, as time goes on day by day, you can start seeing this chicken and the egg starting to transform into the likeness and the image of a chicken. Okay? Because I had incubators, and the incubators move. There's little slots that you put the eggs in, and they move back and forth, and there's heat in there. And pretty soon it starts taking, as it transforms, because it's being fed from its mother, it starts turning into the likeness and the image of a chicken. Amen?
Amen.
And that, spiritually, is the same way. Same thing with a child in a mother's stomach. You can't tell if it's a boy or a girl. You can't even tell what it is, really, that much, when you're looking through ultrasound. But pretty soon it begins, not instantly. The minute that that child gets into that mother's womb, it's alive. Amen?
Amen.
But, and we have life the minute that Jesus enters into us. So there's a difference between being transformed and regeneration. Regeneration happens instantly. That life is there. Amen?
Amen.
But then, transformation is a slow process. It starts happening as you're being fed from your Heavenly Father. Until you grow up into the fullness. In this woman's womb, this child starts taking form. In 2-3 months, you can look in there and see there's a head. You can tell what the toes are and the feet and so on, right?
Right.
And pretty soon you can tell what the gender of the child is because it's being transformed from a sperm and an egg into the likeness and image of a human being. Amen?
Amen.
And spiritually, that's what happens inside of a human soul as they start reading the Word and accepting it and doing what the Word says, like being a soul winner. And you start out, this process starts out in the mind. The mind has to be renewed, and it has to be renewed daily. You have to want to be a soul winner. You have to put on the thinking mind of God, the thinking mind of Christ, until you keep making yourself because you think with your brain by the Word. So that which is in you, that has been conceived in you by the Holy Spirit, begins taking the shape, the form of the Son of the living God. Amen?
Amen?
Until the time that you grow up into the fullness of the stature of Him, and people can see your actions, and you can ask Him questions. It doesn't matter if they've been saved 4 or 5 years. They should know this of what I'm saying right now. But after, you know, then you wait for 10 years, of course, you're going to be a soul winner. I started winning souls the minute that I got saved. I mean, I would never get tongue-tied of how many souls you've... I would say I have won so many human souls to the Lord that it's countless. It's like the stars of the kingdom of heaven that cannot be numbered. Because God has... I've had a change of mind. A renewal of mind. I've changed my mind to where it thinks like Christ. I put on the mind of Christ. His thinking was to come into this world to win souls to the Lord, to God. And if your mind is not geared to think, or you don't make your mind think of this, then you've never renewed your mind. And you've never changed. You're the same every day. And you may think that that's really good, to be steadily unfruitful. But the Lord will hew you down and cast you into the fire. Because you have your own thinking. You've got the same thinking that you were born with. The mind of Satan. Your spirit is still... Maybe the Spirit of the Lord is in you, but you better start transforming. Amen?
Amen.
Because you're not to be the same today as you were yesterday. You cannot stay like your mother or your daddy, as they call us out here. I call my dad, Dad. Out here they call him Daddy, Daddy. Okay? You can't be like them. You got to be like your Father. Amen?
Amen.
If you are a king, it isn't in the future. That King of Kings has been born inside of you. Amen?
Amen.
He's been conceived in there, and you have to transform your thinking. You have to change your thinking. You have to put on the mind of Christ. You have to put on Christ. And start being soul-winning mind. He didn't tell you to come here to do anything else. He didn't save you to do anything else. Oh, you mean, well, don't we have to brush it? Yes, we have to do all those functions. Amen? We have to cook and wash dishes and do these things. But we also have to, while we're doing that, be thinking about transforming ourselves into being soul winners. Amen?
Amen.
There's no other reason why he saved you. To bear fruit. And he says that in John. Any tree that bringeth not forth, not just fruit, but good fruit. In other words, you have to water them too. You have to feed them the word of God, and so that the word will cleanse them. Amen?
Amen.
The blood cleanses your sins away. And not the sins in the future either. Because the Lord says, we got to go. You got to go and sin no more. Amen?
Amen.
I heard this Joyce Meyer saying, when God forgave you, he forgave you for all the sins you committed in the past and any sin that you're going to commit in the future. Now that woman is the devil right out of hell.
Amen.
Whatever you do, I wouldn't don't listen to her. She's a liar. That isn't true, and I'll tell her that right to her face, and you know that. And this is on tape, and somebody can send it to her if you like. All right? I'm sure she hears plenty about me anyway. She knocks off a lot of my messages, but then she twists it into filthiness like this. Okay, so let's go on here.
I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting.
Yeah, don't doubt that you have to be a soul winner, that you have to renew your mind daily into thinking of souls. Well, how do you do so? If you're thinking of souls, you're going to be transformed into Christ. You're going to be not angry with people for no reason whatsoever. You're not going to be fussing or fighting with each other. Amen? Read that again.
I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting.
See, no wrath. Okay, that's over with. Right? That's a new renewal of mind, right? Now, pastors, some of us, I mean, the ones that are really ordained of the Lord, the Bible says in the book of Romans that if you do well, you know, where you don't have to worry about us guys, the pastors. But if you don't, watch out. Because we take wrath, vengeance on people that are in the church that are trying to sow anything other than what Christ wants to be taught. You know, we're going to get upset. Amen?
Amen.
Because I hate the devil. I really hate him. And I hate liars that tell you that you can still sin after you've been saved. How could that be, then, that you'd have a renewal of mind and still be sinning? How could you be exactly like Christ? And the Bible says that we need to put on Christ, the full word of God, the full armor of God, and to have a renewal of mind to his mind, to where we're thinking of soul winning. If we're going to think about soul winning only, and then we're going to be walking, as the Lord says, at peace with one another. Amen?
Amen.
And we're going to dispense, for the dispensation of time that the Lord has given us, the word of God as it is, not with stuff that she makes up or these other false prophets on television do. And they all sometimes preach 99% and 9/10 of the truth, and then they'll go right into that, and that just throws everybody's soul. So they're good counterfeits. Now, when you can tell it's a bogus piece of currency, I mean, it's a joke. But when it looks so real that it almost deceives the people that make the money and the experts, that's a good counterfeit. And the Bible tells us to be very careful that in the last days, Satan, through these false prophets, would be so deceptive that even the very elect could be deceived. And that's because they're preaching 99 9/10 of the gospel, the truth, and then they slip it in there, say, God wants us to have fun. He wants us to have good cars, radios, every good thing, house, 100% everything. We keep getting better, better things on this side of eternity. And the Lord is going to forgive no matter what sin you do. Or God unconditionally loves you. Now, everything with God has got a condition to it. He says, I love you if you keep my commandments. I am your friend if you do everything I say. If. Little tiny word with a great big meaning. Amen?
Amen.
And we have to keep being reminded of that. And I love you if you renew your mind daily. I love you if you put me on, Christ, saying the word. I love you if you walk in the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You cannot walk after the law of sin and death, because he that sinneth is of the devil, the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
And did the Lord call us to be sinners, to continue in sin? God forbid. Amen?
Amen.
But the power of God in us, that's why the Lord came to save sinners, to show us that we can continue being soul winners until the day he comes by the power that is of himself being in you, himself in God being in you, God in him being in you. So continue on.
In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety.
So that is part of being a Christian. If you're a woman, don't be wearing tight dresses and things like that, because that's not modest. Read what I said.
And I have been chosen, this is the absolute truth, as a preacher and apostle to teach the Gentiles about faith and truth.
And the faith and the truth, what is the truth? That we've been saved, that Christ came into the world to save sinners. And he said, as the Father has sent me into the world, so send I you into the, I send you into the world to save sinners. Now go into every nation, every kindred, every tongue, and preach this gospel. To those that believe shall be saved, and those that are doubt, that disbelieve, are damned. Well, that's how important it is. Amen?
Amen.
It's the difference between being saved and damned. Then what?
So whenever you assemble, I want men to pray with holy hands lifted up to God, free from satanic doubt and controversy.
Now, doubt is like you'll be damned with doubt. If you doubt that you're a king, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And the kingdom of God, or the king of God, doesn't come with observation. He comes inside you. He's born in you, just like people walking around and they're pregnant, and nobody can see that. Amen?
Amen.
At first, anyway. Then look about 7, 8, 9 months later. Okay, when they're great with child, then people know. Amen?
Amen.
Because something has taken form in them. Something has been transformed. Their whole bodies are transformed. And there's something in them that's growing into the likeness and the image of a human. Amen?
Amen.
And look at an egg after it's been in the incubator for X amount of days. That thing breaks open, and here's the chicken. You could look through there and see it before by candling it with a regular electric light bulb. Just a lamp you put in there, take the shade off of it, and just candle the egg. And people can tell when Christ has formed in you. They can tell just how much Christ has formed in you. Because there isn't anything that frightens you anymore to say, or you're not embarrassed at saying the word, or what church you go to. Buster isn't afraid of mentioning where he goes to church. Is he?
No.
No. Some people have become so wise as serpents that they become the serpent. That isn't what the Lord means. He means wise as the serpent is to dodge sin and dodge being afraid. If you're afraid or embarrassed, then what are you? You're nothing. Timid, half-wit. Then what?
And I want women to be modest in their appearance. They are to wear decent and appropriate clothing, and not draw attention to themselves by the way they fix their hair, or by wearing gold or pearls or expensive clothes.
Now that isn't the Lord saying that you don't, or through Paul, saying that you can't keep yourself neat and clean and everything, but you know what modest is, don't you?
Yes.
Everybody? Okay, so you don't have to be told that. That much you can be formed and transformed into the Lord, amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
For women who claim to be devoted to God are to make themselves attractive by the good work of the Lord they do.
Right, that's what it says in the last chapter of Proverbs, doesn't it?
Yes.
Okay, now go back into King James.
In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array.
Why shamefacedness? Why should women be ashamed? one woman came to me and says, can my husband have relationships with me when I'm on my period? She says, I said, no. Says, well, the Lord allows us to eat pork, doesn't he? And I said, yeah, if you ask the Lord to bless him. It's not really food, though. And she says, well, am I not better than a pig? And so I told her, was it a pig that caused Christ to have to come into this world and die? No, it was a woman, wasn't it?
Yes.
Was it a pig that caused all of us to have to die and go to hell? Huh?
No.
No, it was a woman, wasn't it?
Yes.
Be shamefaced. Amen?
Amen.
Know who you are. And obey Christ, the scriptures. Amen?
Amen.
He says, be shamefaced. I mean, wiggling and giggling. Good giggling, wiggling. Everybody knows that's a put on. That's satanic anyway, don't they?
Yes.
All right, then what?
But which becometh women professing godliness with good works.
Right, so read that last part online. Just the last line or two.
Okay. For women who claim to be devoted to God are to make themselves attractive by the good work of the Lord they do.
Right. Okay, so keep going in King James. We haven't gone beyond that, have we?
No.
Okay, keep going in King James.
Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection.
Yeah. Well, in other words, I think Joyce Myers ought to shut up. Amen?
Amen.
And he also said, I suffer not a woman to teach. Because she teaches the wrong thing. Amen?
Amen.
Now, they can give their testimony, okay? But don't let any woman try to teach me, okay? The Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Sue never tried to do that with me. I studied myself. Once in a while, she'd have me read the Bible to her. Just before a message, she'd tell me what scripture she wants, and she'd preach, okay? Prophesy. In the last days, my servants and handmaidens will prophesy. Some of his servants and handmaidens, that isn't the Lord's servant, or his handmaiden, that's Joyce Myers, all right?
Amen.
Not when she's saying things like that, that's for sure. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, and she ought to just be silent. Read that line again.
Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection.
Yeah, in other words, she's commanded to learn. Okay? Now, you give your testimony in whatever the Lord gives you, because there's no male or female in the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Now, Paul made mistakes in the book of Acts. He went and circumcised Timothy. And then he comes out preaching, no, that's because he took Timothy back under the law instead of faith. Amen?
Amen.
But, he said, I don't look back at the past mistakes that I've made. I've learned that that's wrong now. He says, so I press on to the mark, to the kingdom of heaven, the goal, you know. I've asked the Lord to forgive me for that, for teaching Timothy that, and he circumcised Timothy himself. Whew. I'd forgotten that I'd read that before, and that just came up yesterday. But, now he says, no, don't let anybody do that. He calls people that would tell you to do stuff as that as wretched and demons. Amen?
Amen.
So he was very demonic. But he wasn't completely transformed yet when he did that. Amen?
Amen.
He was a little too zealous. He jumped the gun, and Timothy had to pay for it. Right? Okay, then what?
But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence.
Okay, so go ahead and read my high side.
Women are to listen and learn quietly and submissively. I do not let women teach men or have authority over them. Let them listen quietly.
Now, Paul, he may not have been totally transformed here, because the Lord told me to... Because I was a baby Christian, and Susie had been saved 30 or I forget how many years, more than that maybe, before I was. And so he told me to listen to her. And so I did. Amen?
Amen.
And so I just figured that means for me to just listen to her, and everybody was just really getting on my case because I let her preach. because of what Paul said. But then I listened to what Joel said, Joel, and I also listened to what Peter said, and he said, in the last days I'll pour out my spirit upon my servants and my handmaids. Amen?
Amen.
And they shall prophesy. That means preach. Okay?
Amen.
But that doesn't mean teach. All right? You can give your testimony in what only what the Lord gives you in the Spirit. Okay? Now the Lord lets us guys teach. Okay? Do you learn anything?
Yes.
Good. So it must be okay then, right? And I'll prove all my points with the Bible, okay? I don't make up a new Bible for people. You'll find the things I'm teaching in the Bible. Okay? Then what? I don't read comic books or think that we're here to have fun, like Joyce Meyer says, either in a bunch of people that are supposed to be preachers. We're here to win souls, not have fun, okay? Or amass fortunes on this side of eternity. The Lord says to amass them in the kingdom of heaven, okay?
Amen.
Where they're going to last forever. Now, that's my teaching, not Joyce Meyer's. Okay, then what else? And I absolutely would, I've heard her preach some real good messages, and that's why she's a good counterfeit. She always goes off the rail, though. Okay, but then go ahead.
For God made Adam first, and afterward he made Eve. And it was the woman, not Adam, who was deceived by Satan, and she was the sinner.
Yeah. A pig didn't cause God to come to earth, did he?
No.
Or cause us all to go die and go to hell, and cause all of our spirits to be dead when we're born, and cause us to all be under the rulership of Satan until Christ set us free from him? Did a pig do that?
No.
No. A woman did. Let's not forget that. And then the stupid man went and followed her. He ate too. That's why we need to have the fullness of God, need to be transformed into his full likeness so that we don't let women influence us one way or the other. Amen?
Amen.
To do sin. To do that which is the opposite of what the Lord says. Or you're not to let any man do it either. There's a lot of man preachers on television that are horrible. They do the same thing. They all follow suit. They're all preaching the same message. Jan and Paul Crouch, Crystal Cathedral, Pat Robertson. I know it's not good etiquette to mention names and so on, but God had warned people about them. You know, there's a lot of people... you know, it doesn't make any difference how much money they have. I could care less if they got a lot of money for preaching the gospel, but I'm sad about the amount of souls that they're losing. The Lord didn't call them to preach false doctrine and cause souls to go to hell. He called them to win souls. And it'll be my greatest pleasure if they all start preaching the truth and stop preaching about that thing and about all this prosperity messages and things like that. Of course, the Lord gives us makes us prosperous, but he means spiritual prosperity, and he means that he's going to take care of our food and clothes and everything else. And he does. Amen?
Amen.
But with that, there's the other messages besides that. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, what else?
But women shall be saved in childbearing, but only if they continue to live by faith in the word and love or charity, which is the keeping of God's commandments.
Well, wait a minute. You didn't read that in King James yet, have you?
No.
Well, then read King James first.
Okay. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression.
See, there was only one person that was not didn't have to go through the transformation. It was Adam. Amen?
Amen.
Even Jesus had to go through the transformation. Amen? So that, because he was our example. Amen?
Amen.
He became, he was like conceived by the Holy Spirit into Mary's womb, and then he went through the whole birthing process, all right? Transforming from a seed, the Bible says he is a seed, amen?
Amen.
Into a human being with God in him, just as we are, we must be in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. And then after we're born, then he had to learn. He had to let God Almighty, by having the mind of God, He had to put that on, just like we can. We know what the mind of God is because it's the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And therefore, we can have this renewal of mind daily. Renew your minds daily, the mind of Christ, by just reading the Word of God. So that we, as we renew the mind, so we can be transformed. So we can see the directions of how it is that we need, the process that we have to go through to be transformed. That means being obedient to everything that the Lord says, the Word. Okay? That's how we're transformed. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety.
Okay, sobriety, being sober. Sober-minded, not joking and jiving and finger-popping. Pay attention. Keep your mind the mind of Christ. He didn't call us to clap our hands and just sing songs and say hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen, Jesus, then go off into some clique and begin getting completely out of character. Getting completely out of the mindset. Your minds become transformed to a point, or cleanse, you have the mind of Christ, then all of a sudden you get back into your own mind. The Lord doesn't honor that at all. We have to continue on with a clean mind of Christ till He comes. Okay? Continue on. Okay, what else?
But women shall be saved in childbearing, but only if they continue to live by faith in the Word and love or charity, which is the keeping of God's commandments, and holiness with sobriety, being sober in their minds.
Okay. Now we're going into my exhortation here, right?
Yes.
Okay, now here, that's the end of that chapter. Is that right?
Right.
Now we're going into regeneration and transformation, being transformed. I've written a little thing on this, okay, maybe 4 or 5 pages. And so you'll have it on tape because it'll probably take you time to study it. I've been giving you just a little bit of it right now. Go ahead.
Romans 12, 1 through 2 shows us that...
Read it.
I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy...
Okay, that's one of the first things you do is give your body to the Lord. Holy...
Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Okay, now read what I said.
Romans 12, 1 through 2 shows us that to be saved till the end... We must be transformed in 2 ways. One is the presentation of our bodies, and the other is the renewing of our mind.
Well, you've got to, in other words, you're saying, I'm presenting my body to the Lord. That means to death. I'm not going to do the things in my body I did before. I'm going to have a renewal of mind. I'm making up my mind. I have a change of mind that I'm not going to do what I did before. I'm going to be... not an imitation of Christ, but I'm going to be exactly like Christ. So, you present your body to the Lord into death, and then resurrection. We have these disturbances because we record here in the office, and so every so often the phone rings, so let's do that again.
Romans 12, 1 through 2 shows us that to be saved till the end, we must be transformed in 2 ways. One is the presentation of our bodies.
Yeah, that's the first. You have to make up your mind that I'm going to give my body to the Lord. I'm going to die. I'm going to die out. The Spirit of God enters me, and so I've got the power now to mortify the deeds of the flesh, to mortify, to kill the things that I used to do. I'm going to kill the things that I want from the world. Because it's the Spirit is what kills their desires. If you make up your mind to want that to happen, if you want to be like Christ and do what He came here to do and sent us to do, and that's to win souls, then what?
And 2, the other is the renewing of our mind.
Right, so we have to renew our mind to think that way. And of course, this is, we have to learn, we have to put into our mind what it is that the Lord wants us to do. Otherwise, we won't know what He wants us to do. So this, it takes time to transform, because it takes time to learn. Amen?
Amen.
We can only transform as fast as we learn. But if you learn and continue in your old ways, then there'll be no change in you whatsoever, and you're going to be lost for eternity. Just if you've been aborted, in other words, the Spirit of God came into you, you were regenerated, but you decided that you don't want to be transformed. So the difference between regeneration and transformation is regeneration, salvation. To be saved takes just an instant. Just like a seed going into a womb, takes just one instant. And that seed is in there, you're saved. But then, after salvation, you don't want to be transformed. You don't want to grow up from a seed to the fullness of the stature of a baby boy or girl. Then you're aborted. You can't stay in the womb forever. Amen?
Amen.
You've got to grow up and be hatched, so to speak. All right? There has to come a time when you're going to put all this foolishness away. You were crazy. We were dead. Our spirits were dead before, and now we're alive. And now that we're alive, let's dust ourselves off and look at what the rules of getting into heaven are. To be like, in order to get to heaven, we have to be transformed into the fullness of the stature of the Lord. It isn't something that we decide to do because we want to. It's we have to. And somebody, one of these preachers, this Fred Price, said this morning that God doesn't make you do anything. Well, what about Jonah? Did he make him do something?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
And what about me? He made me do stuff in the office. Now, I could have not done it and been killed because he threatened, if I don't tell the people in this room about the Lord Jesus Christ and that he's coming back to earth again, I'm going to die. So unless you're crazy, you're going to do it. He made me do it, okay? It's like the song, "You Made Me Love You." I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it, right? That Jolie sang. You do it because he gives you an offer you can't refuse. Amen?
Amen.
So don't believe Fred Price either. He comes up with some wing dingers every so often himself. The Lord does make, he says, he lets you choose what you want to do. Really? Do I want to live where I'm living right now? No, I'd like to be on the Riviera in France, you know, the French Riviera, or in the Italian Riviera, or, you know, any of the Rivieras out there. Because I like the climate, you know, and things to do and places to go if I'm just a carnal person. But he wants me to stay here. And I wanted to write. I wanted the ability to be able to write. And he says, okay, if I give it to you, you're going to have to be confined. You're not going to have to be able to run around like you do. I said, I don't care, Lord. Yes, please, let's do it. I'll stay in all the time if you want. Okay? He said, now I'm going to give you the talent here to write, but he said, if you make these tracks, to write tracks or newsletters, and if you put them out, you will not be destroyed, but if you don't, you will be destroyed. I said, I'll put them out, Lord. And this happened quite a few years ago, and I just kept it rolling. Amen?
Amen.
Happened around 22 years ago. I've been saved for almost 40. But I got this talent to write just after Susie died. It's been around 22 years ago. Because I felt helpless in this church, because she was, to me, the main preacher. I just wanted to back her up. And I never pushed my way into the ministry at all. The Lord came and got me, just like he did Paul on the road to Damascus. He dealt with me directly, not through a preacher. Just like he did Paul. In a little different way. I wasn't on a horse. I was in an office. All right, now what?
The presentation of our body is the same as regeneration. Regeneration is done at once. It is immediately, once and for all.
Yeah, the seed is in there. And it's not, that once you're regenerated, you're saved, you're saved. The spirit, the seed is in you. But the seeds don't always remain. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
But transformation is progressive. It takes a process of time. Transformation is gradual. Let us now learn the relationship between the mind and transformation.
The mind in transformation. It's got to be the body and the mind. Okay, we're sacrificing everything unto the Lord. It's our reasonable duty. Amen?
Amen.
Giving up the old life so that we can have the new. Giving up hell, the pit of hell and the lake of fire to have heaven. You're not doing God any favor. He's doing you a favor by telling you these instructions on how to get into heaven. Amen?
Amen.
And what he came here for and what he got us to be saved for. To win souls. After 30 years, do you know that now,
yes.
Lydia? All right. She knows it now, everybody. Out there in radio land. Okay, then what?
Well,
oh, we've offended Lydia. No. The offensive scriptures mean no offending. That means don't offend God. If the gospel offends or the truth offends people, that's just too bad. All right? Because God doesn't have many good things to say about sweaty people. He came and died for them, and if they accept him and do what he says, they're sheep. If not, they're goats and chaff. Garbage. That's what he says. They're like dogs. They go back to their vomit, and pigs to their wallowing in the mire if they get the seed enters them, and then they don't go ahead and become transformed. They're not thankful enough to God to transform themselves, to change so that it can give glory to God in this world, so that there can be, so they can walk through the earth like kings, representing God, letting God represent himself in you. Kings and priests, those are the real priests, are the ones that have not just Christ living in them, but the fullness of Christ, where they've been regenerated and transformed and consummated. When you're fully transformed, then you're totally consummated. Amen?
Amen.
You don't know. Okay, then what?
Romans 12:2.
Explain it to me then. Okay, what else?
And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
See, that's the first, your body and your mind. Amen? Now, you can't stay as a little embryo. Amen?
Amen?
How would you like it if you went out and planted a bunch of seeds in the background, out in the ground, out in the backyard, or wherever, and nothing came up? It never got transformed. Amen? It never resurrected unto life. The Lord wants to live his fullness in you. Amen?
Amen?
So when the Spirit of God enters into your body, into your spirit, and raises your dead spirit to life, he wants to start building up the fullness of himself in you so that he can represent himself in you with the Father to the world. All right? Now, you may be getting bored with this because I've taught this before, but the thing is that there's new baby Christians coming into the church, and I want them to know that, even if some of you don't. Okay, and if they hear the tapes, if you'll at least get the tapes to them, then they'll know. And some of them will take hold on it. Then what else?
And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Yeah, because you can't know what is acceptable to God unless you transform your mind to take on the mind of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
You have to be totally transformed. You have to transform your devilish mind that you were born with to have the mind of Christ. Give your body to Christ and then transform your mind so that your mind is not the devil's mind any longer. Okay, then what? Because you were born devils, belonging to the devil. Right?
Right.
You were born, your spirit was dead. You belonged to the devil. And your mind was dead. Dead to the things of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
Romans 12:2 says, "Be transformed by the renewing of the mind." Ephesians 4:23.
Okay, go ahead.
"And be renewed in the spirit of your mind."
Okay, so your mind is the spirit, then. Amen?
Amen.
The spirit of your mind. So, the spirit of your mind is dead, and so you have to have the spirit of the Lord's mind in your mind. Amen?
Amen.
So that it's not your mind anymore. How can you win souls if it's your mind? No one can lead people to the Lord. No one can be led to the Lord but the Spirit lead them. Amen?
Amen.
And so, when the Lord anoints me to say something, well, then I say it. Otherwise, it's not the Spirit of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And if it is the Spirit of the Lord, it's doing something in you. What's happening is Christ that's in you is being transformed. Pretty soon you can see the toes, the fingers, the head. Amen?
Amen.
You can see different new things being done in you that Christ does. Amen?
Amen.
Now he says greater things will we do, the whole body of Christ, than what he did. He was just one person. Doesn't mean that we're going to do things bigger and better. I mean, individually, that we're going to do anything better than him, but it means that the whole body is going to win a greater amount of souls than he did. Amen?
Amen.
But if he doesn't have preachers, then how will they hear? If he doesn't have people that are transformed, well, then how will they see the work of God in you? If your mind isn't transformed to be the mind of Christ, and your body isn't devoted to the Lord, is sacrificed unto him, which is your reasonable duty, then people are not going to see any different in you than they do in the people of the world. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Ephesians 4:23 says, "And are renewed in the spirit of your mind." These two verses, Romans 12:2 and Ephesians 4:23, refer to the relationship between the renewing of the mind and the transformation.
Well, your mind has to be transformed gradually. You're the Spirit of God in you, and the mind of Christ has to be transformed, grow up. You say, okay, now I've got to think like Christ. Well, you're just a babe in thinking that way at the beginning. So it's like going to school to learn to where your mind is thinking like Christ's mind. You have to ignore the world, because whatever the world is saying is a dirty lie. Amen?
Amen.
Whatever your flesh is saying is a filthy lie. We have to be exactly like the seed that was planted in us. And the seed that was planted in Christ, in Mary rather, which grew up to be Christ, the Savior of the world. Okay, the Redeemer, the Father. It says the Father, amen?
Amen?
The Almighty God. Now, he's not just God or Adonai. People use those words, you know, he's Abba, our Father. You have to think of him as that way, amen?
Amen.
You got to think of him as Father. And when Jesus, they asked Jesus how to pray, he says, start out by saying, O Adonai, O Elohim. No, he says, our Father. Amen?
Amen.
He's talking to his sons, people that are wanting to be transformed, people that have the seed in them. Kings, he's talking to people that are followers of the king, and they're kings. He's the king of all of us kings. He's not talking about King Louis VIII or some secular king that doesn't have Christ in him, but he doesn't want to be the king of them. He's the king of we who he has made kings. The kingdom of heaven came into us, amen?
Amen.
Without observation. And therefore, the king came into us and sat down. And so therefore, he's in us. And he's made us kings because he wants us to rule for him in this world. Amen?
Amen.
And he wants us to rule as royalty, to not be afraid, or chicken-livered, chicken yellow bellies. He wasn't a yellow belly, was he?
No.
He was a king, and he was a king among everybody in the world. What kings is he the king of? Us. Amen?
Amen.
God, the Lord says this, he says, this isn't my world. He says, my kingdom is somewhere else. I'm the king of the kings of my kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
I've chosen these kings in this world that I live in because I rule in them, because I'm transformed. They have transformed themselves by the renewal of their mind. They have transformed themselves into my likeness and image so that they can rule for me here on earth as kings with dignity, as I ruled when I was here. And those that rule well on this earth as kings for me, I'm the king of those kings, the Lord says. Amen?
Amen.
And they shall rule forevermore in the kingdom of heaven for me. Okay? Because the Lord is very famous for using his servants, his kings, to do things for him in this world. He went away. And he wants us to rule here on earth. He wanted Adam to rule for him, and Adam laid down for the devil. And the Lord doesn't want you to do that, or I. Okay? We're to rule here on earth for him. And there is nobody on the face of this earth that I feel is in higher rank than God Almighty in Christ that's in me. I do not take a second seat to any, especially people that are secular. I know who I am. I know who's in me. I live because of him that's in me. Amen?
Amen.
He died so that he could live in me and give me life by his life in my once dead spirit. It's alive now, and I want it to stay alive forevermore. How about you?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. All right, let's go on.
The work of the Holy Spirit is always from the center to the surface.
Yeah, it starts out inside, and then the works you begin seeing the body doing. Amen?
Amen.
When the Lord is fully transformed, and then everybody starts seeing everything around, the whole circumference of you is like the Lord then. Well, you don't look like the Lord. Well, the Bible says that he made us in his image. Amen? So we do look like the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
But he wants us to look like him spiritually, 100%. Not just look like him, but be like him. He wants to live in us. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
It is because the spirit is especially related to the mind.
Amen. Then what?
The spirit must be renewed first, then the mind must be renewed.
Oh, we have our own spirit, just like a spirited horse. But remember that there's a piece of literature that somebody wrote that is about these wild horses, and they took them and trained them. And some of them didn't want to be trained, and so they just were wild, and they never did get to be fully grown because they took them into the king's house and started feeding them the proper nourishment and everything, and they grew up and they were pulling the king's carriage. Amen?
Amen.
I like that track. It's a very good one. Amen?
Amen.
Well, that's the way it is with us. Read that back again.
The spirit must be renewed first.
Right. And so, in other words, we all must eat first. Do we expect, because, if we eat natural food for our natural bodies, that it's going to get into us without us going to the pantry or the refrigerator and getting the food? You have to go through some, activity, lazy people. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord says for us to put on Christ. We have to put it on. Amen? We have to put him on, right?
Right.
Put on the mind of Christ. Put on the full armor of God. You have to read and look what it says and start doing it in order for him to grow in you to where you have more power. The more you hear, the more power you have, because the more transformed into his image and likeness he is in you. Amen?
Amen.
Now you're going to look the same, because people can't see Christ growing in you visibly except by the works you do eventually. Amen?
Amen.
Then they'll know. Okay, then what?
The spirit must be renewed first, then the mind must be renewed.
Amen. So you have to have the spirit to want to renew your mind. That desire has to be in you. If you want. your mind renewed if you want the mind of Christ. If you want to put on the mind of Christ, you have to take some effort to do that. You have to take some effort to say the sinner's prayer and to say it sincerely enough to where the Spirit of God enters into you, the seed, God himself in Christ, enters into you. You have to mean it. For once in your life, you have to mean something. You have to mean what you're doing and what you're saying. That's why the Lord doesn't like a liar. Somebody says, yes, Lord, and then they don't do it. That's a liar. They don't allow the Lord to... They say, I'm Christian, and then they do all these evil things so that people think that that's what Christianity is. They're liars. Or they preach the word wrong. If they don't preach the word, they preach heresy, lies. Then what else?
Finally, at last, the Christian living in a human body, their behavior will gradually be changed, transformed.
Yes. Keep going.
Repentance is to have a change of mind.
Yeah, I mean, if you repent, that means... Repent from what? The way you were doing things, that means you change your mind and change your course. You change your mind. I like doing things my own set way. I'm just a set person. Well, you can't say you anymore. You have to die. The you and the way you like to do things has to be terminated. And then you have to let Christ have his way. Otherwise, you're letting Satan have his way. There's just no two ways about it. Then what?
Repentance is to have a change of mind. It means that your eyes have been opened. You've seen the light.
Yeah, then what?
Having our mind renewed, just...
You've seen the light. In other words, you see the Word of God that it's right. And so you say, this is right. I don't want to live wrongly anymore. I don't want to do things as Satan has had me do all my life. But some people say, well, I'm young, and I just want to live my life. I don't want to be harnessed or bridled. And you don't know from one minute to the next that you won't die. There's graveyards full of young people, amen?
Amen.
And if you die, you're going to hell because your mind is at enmity with the mind of Christ. You're an enemy of God. You're only his friend if you do everything he says, okay? Then what?
Having our mind renewed just means that our eyes have been enlightened.
With the Word of God, yeah, because the Word is the light. He's the light of the world, the Word. And the Word became flesh. And the words he preaches and teaches is truth. And he's the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Then what?
The more our mind is renewed, the more we are transformed.
Right, the more you receive what the Word says into your mind, the more that you're going to, God is going to be given glory in you, God in Christ. God, Christ is God. Amen? All right. Then what?
Every day through the light of God, who is life, God keeps letting us know ourselves to reproduce himself in us.
Right, he wants to reproduce or grow up in us. Why? Because he wants to do the works in this world. Amen?
Amen.
That's why these people say, did I not do great? Yes, you did. You did big works. And they were all built on fallacy. The Lord wants to do the work. Otherwise, not the work of the Lord. Okay? Goofy? All right? Then what?
He lets us know he is in us. He becomes our total inner and outer life. We are able to realize that we daily are putting off the old man. And
people say, oh, you just don't have any respect for people. I don't have any more respect for people than God does. Okay? He said he is all born just like out of an ass's colt out on the desert. He says, and what is man that thou art mindful of him? One of the prophets said. Amen?
Amen.
That you would even pay attention to us. He cared enough to give us an opportunity to be regenerated, transformed, and consummated. Consecrated, too, from this world. But you have to have your mindset to do that, to want to do it. You got to want to do it. It's not just going to happen. It's not going to just, all of a sudden you're going to make a change because it's a spiritual, you know, it's a self-denial. You have to do it. You have to make yourself do it. Amen?
Amen.
Deny thyself. Deny thyself and take up the cross. It's you got to do it. Well, but I don't have that much gumption, Lord. Well, then get your mind renewed so that you do have to get some, ask the Lord for some fear of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
We are able to realize that we daily are putting off the old man and that we are putting on the new man, which is to know the new way we live.
Yeah, so that we can know the new way that we're living, the way the new man lives. The old man is the devil. The new man is Christ, God. It's always amazing to me the trash that refuses to do what God wants them to do. They're just nothing but trash. So that's why God calls them trash. Amen?
Amen.
Chaff, trash, what's the difference? It's to be burnt. Then what?
We are putting on the new man, which is to know the new way to live. This is what we experience daily, on the daily road, in the process of transformation.
Okay, keep going.
When we are first saved, regeneration, we have initially put off the old man, and as much as we know our old way of life, and have put on the new man, Ephesians 4:22.
Okay, read it.
That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust.
Then go to the next verse.
And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
Right. And what?
Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him.
So, renewed in knowledge. You renew by knowledge of the Word of God, of God himself, the Word. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
This we have already done in Christ. It is important for us to know that transformation is different than regeneration. We must check ourselves all the time to know, how do I measure up on a scale of 1 through 10?
Have I changed? Have I changed since yesterday or since the day I got saved? I got regenerated? Have I been transformed? Or am I a big liar or just a deceiver? A cheat? A thief? Am I changed? Am I full of lasciviousness or so and so? Good. I hear people saying, no, I am not. That's wonderful. Then what?
How do I measure up on a scale of 1 through 10, 10 being the highest? How much, to what degree, have I experienced transformation? If there has not been any change in us since we were first saved, if we are still self-loving, full of self-pity, selfish, proud, self-exalting, and full of worry, doubt, and unthankfulness, then you very well might question whether we have really met the light.
Whether you've really met the Lord or not. Because how could a person know the Lord and not be thankful? Huh?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
If we go on like this, we become more cold, more hardened, more proud, more conceited, more loose, and unruly. Then there will be illness, either in heart, in our mind, or body. If this is where you are, we need to humble ourselves and begin again to deal with our heart. We need to ask the Lord to be merciful to us, to enlighten us, and to give us strength to get rid of any sin and every bit of self that is hindering the move of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus.
Right, because you wouldn't be concerned. If you were not saved, you wouldn't be concerned about things like this. But if you are concerned about it, then you're saved, all right? A person that just is sold out to the devil, they don't care 2 cents about hearing this, anything about supernatural or life, eternal. They just want to go to hell. I mean, they don't care. They don't believe in heaven or hell. They don't believe any of this regeneration business or transformation or consummation or consecration. They don't believe in any of that. They don't want to know about it. So if you're concerned, then the seed must be in you. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
The Holy Spirit says, quote, Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden.
If you hear his voice, if. All right? That's that little word with a big meaning, amen?
Amen.
If you can hear his voice, then what?
Do not harden your hearts.
Don't harden your hearts. Listen to what he says and let him transform you. All right? Then what?
It's Hebrews 3, 7 through 8.
Mm-hmm.
Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness.
You know, where the Lord dropped all those people, except two, killed everybody, all the Jews. There's said to be between 1.5 million to 3 million of them. And he killed them all. Because they all hardened their heart against the Lord. They didn't care anything about the promised land. That to them was garbage. They wanted the things they wanted right then and there. And want to believe, they didn't want to be transformed. They didn't patiently wait for the promise. Patiently waiting for the promise is the kingdom of heaven. Amen.
Amen.
And God in Christ, it was God. God, Christ is God, living in us to give us the power to continue on patiently until we get the promise, the kingdom of heaven, and we're there in ecstasy forever. Ecstasy. No one on the face of this earth knows what ecstasy is. Whatever you think ecstasy is, it's 100 trillions of times more ecstasy there than whatever you've experienced in this side of eternity. It's like you're just walking in ecstasy. Splendor. It's like, you know, better than anything that you could ever even... It's beyond your thought. And there we have everything, and we move. We can move there, you know, move about at the speed of thought. Whew! You know, you want to be someplace, there you are. That's great. You don't have to pay for gas. Right? The speed of a speed of a bullet is not nearly as fast as the speed of thought. Amen?
Amen.
And a bullet doesn't go as far as your thoughts can go. I can be thinking of China now, and if I was there, I'd be there. In an instant. Amen?
Amen?
I just think myself there. Amen? Then what?
Ask the Lord.
That's the truth. Okay, what else?
Ask the Lord to be merciful and soften your heart, that our hearts may be softened before Him. At this time, we must listen also to and believe. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure.
Right, that's what He's in us for. That's why He wants us to be transformed, to do His will and His pleasure in you. And if you do that, well, then you get to go to heaven. If you let Him use you, and you think you're so good that He shouldn't use you, that you got something, then you just painted yourself out of heaven and right into hell. And you haven't got enough sense to believe God or enough of the Spirit of God in you, that's your problem, not mine. All right, then what?
Philippians 2:13, quote, for it is God who operates in you, both the willing and the working, for His good pleasure. This is the true nature of the new covenant. We must praise God for everything.
And be thanked. Praise and thank the Lord. Amen? Because His power, He dwells in the thanks and the praises of His saints. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
I believe the women of the world need to be saved, bear children, that they may be able to enter heaven. Children keep a woman's mind busy, helping their minds to be off the world and all its lusts. Let us renew our minds daily to be transformed daily.
Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo, and I guess we're going to be doing the third chapter, Lord willing, of the 1 Timothy tonight. I'll be doing it, and we'll record it tomorrow. God bless you till then.